coaches. Blow the whistle, ay. Blow the whistle, ay. Blow the whistle, they can't hold a flame against you, ay. Blow the whistle, ay. Blow the whistle, ay. Blow the whistle, got the game, it ain't no issue, yeah. Blowing the whistle, I had enough with you, the championship, it is gone. Ain't listen to you, I can't give it to you, cause you don't know what I've been on. This is the Coaches Podcast, ripping up everything off that.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome into the Fantasy Coaches Podcast. This is your host, Coach Steve, coming with you today for our Week 2 Waiver Wire show tonight. Monday Night Football is about to begin in a good 45 minutes, so we'll be in and out probably by then. So if you want some early waiver talk, we're going to have it for you here tonight. Of course, you know, our co-host, Coach Jibs, let's get him in the show. What's going on, Jibs?
What up, man?
Good, man. Good. What's going on? How was your week one in fantasy?
My week one was a mixed bag. I had a lot of teams that were just kind of the dog pile early on, and they kind of survived. And redraft this week, 5-1, so I can't really complain about that. I still got two games left in the air, so let's go Lamar Jackson. But other than that, not a bad start to the fantasy season, if you ask me.
Nice. Unfortunately, I did not end up with the same scenario. I actually had a pretty bad week one. But that's all right. I'm always a in-season maneuverer, so I'm going to make things happen where I'm end up in a lot of championships, and that's why we're here to talk tonight, guys. The in-season stuff now, you know, the drafts are over. We can predict what we want, but we've seen what we've seen now at this point. Now it's time for the week two waivers. Before we get into that, we do have some news to talk about real quick here. We'll start quickly here with something we missed last week here. It was right after we got off, too. We talked about Murray to Baltimore here. Latavius Murray signed a one-year deal. We didn't actually talk about him actually being there. It was all hypotheticals. But do you expect this to be a pretty big thing here, having Murray in Baltimore, Jibs?
I'd rather take my whiff out of the whole trio of Devontae Freeman, Le'Veon Bell. I'll take my swing with Murray. The beat writers and all the reporters were saying how he kind of fits the scheme perfectly and what they want to do, durable running back, and still has some more durable treads on their tires than the other guys, and at least that shows he has at least a step left. So significantly better for Baltimore, but they still have a very large committee to deal with.
Yeah. Again, it shouldn't be that big of a – I mean, he's going to make an impact. Let's be real. I don't know if it's going to be week one. It may be more of a week two. So this is a good time, if you're not starting Williams already, to be starting Williams, because he should have a pretty decent game. And if he slips this week, Murray gets a good shot. I mean, you're not really getting him all waivers at this point. He should be probably picked up pretty much everywhere. But if you have Murray, you should be pretty happy about a guy who might be a very consistent option for you in an offense that likes to run the ball down the middle very quickly. And Murray had done that plenty of times over his time in New Orleans and in Minnesota. So it's a good signing for Baltimore. They picked the right one to bring to their active roster for right now. Let's see if that changes over this game tonight. So let's talk more about the week one here now. And there were some pretty big injuries. There are three big injuries for fantasy in week one. And let's start with Jerry Jeudy. High ankle sprain. It says 6 to 8 initially, but now it is 4 to 6 weeks he will be out for. How devastating is this to you, Jibs? You know, is this something that's a big impact for you?
It's a setback, but just to be considerable, he's probably at least your wide receiver 3 or 4 in your team, a guy you got in the 6th, 7th round, and you should be kind of just planning to put him on your IR spot, just let him sit back a couple weeks, or I guess so the time frame is over, and expect what you saw from him. He was the main guy on that field when he was playing, and I can't say anymore. I have too many shares of Jerry Jeudy that I can handle, and I'm sad for the injury news, but still, there's going to be viable options still in the passing game that we will be talking about in the waivers, and still, I think right now it's definitely a positive bump up for Noah Fant.
Yeah, it definitely is, and I kind of agree with you, honestly. I mean, Jerry Jeudy looked good out there week one. It's unfortunate that he's going to miss time now. But Noah Fant, I think, takes a good step up here now. There's someone else we'll be talking about later in our waiver wire segment that I really like. A couple guys, actually. It's definitely a big blow. Hopefully this helps Courtland Sutton out, because he didn't really play that well this week. And so hopefully, without Jerry Jeudy, he's going to see a bigger target share, because we really need him to, because he was a top
1 point in half PPR.
Yeah, exactly. You really can't have that in fantasy. So hopefully, it's unfortunate for Jeudy because his career has not gone off to the start he wanted. Hopefully he makes a strong recovery, but he's an IR guy for now. If you can hold him as an IR, and hopefully, again, it impacts some other guys we're actually going to probably talk about on our waiver show. So next up on the board, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Mr. Fitzmagic, hip injury. And he is, I believe, out for 8 weeks, or is it 6 to 8 weeks, I believe. He's on the short-term IR right now already, but he's definitely probably out 6 to 8 weeks with a hip injury here. Definitely not a good one. Obviously, a hip injury is pretty hard to come back from, especially in season here, so there's a good chance he might not play again this year. So this kind of makes a guy like Tyler Henneke kind of relevant now. Obviously, you know, we saw him in the playoffs last year against the Bucks, and he performed really well. And is he somebody in Superflex leagues you're looking, obviously, to pick up now, Jibs?
Yeah, like anytime a quarterback is like available in a super flex, you just gotta like just sniff at it and like just throw a little bit of your spending budget on it, especially if you're kind of shallow at quarterback. But I think like he's gonna be a fine play, especially if you're knowing that you're gonna get a 8 week stretch out of him. It's not like you're gonna be getting a 3 or 4 game like sample size or whatever, and then he's gonna be back as of QB2, but like just to have like half a season available to you, you have a lot of more like variability and options. Like, not saying he's going to be a good QB2 or like an optimal QB2 starter, but still, like, just having another option, especially how, like, given like if you're playing 10 teams, 12 team leaves, if you're league shallower, deeper, oh my god, like, he's definitely a fine add.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you. He is definitely someone that needs to be picked up in every single league, especially Superflex. And one QB, yeah, I'm not really touching him, honestly. I don't think many people are touching Ryan Fitzpatrick in that sense anyway. Again, he's a decent quarterback. He's not going to be able to air it out consistently. Outside of, you know, him, you know, who does this impact the most for you on that team?
For me, Terry McLaurin hasn't been playing with anyone, so like I think he can kind of survive like the blows. But I think Antonio Gibson definitely gets a nice little tick up. I think they'll kind of run the ball more, be more conservative. So I think for him, like, that's probably the go-to. And then obviously with young quarterbacks or not established quarterbacks, I think they're going to try to go with the tight end. So I think maybe not like as of a big boost that I feel with Antonio Gibson, but I do believe I forget the guy's name.
Logan Thomas.
Logan Thomas would definitely have a somewhat of a boost, I believe. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, but I think the main guys should be pretty fine. Like McLaurin and Thomas should be fine additions still. They thrived last year with a guy like Alex Smith. So they should be fine. J.D. McKissick might come into the mix.
J.D. McKissick.
He might come back into the mix there a little bit. He only had one target this past week, so he might be relevant again. Henneke might throw to him a little bit more on the short routes than Ryan Fitzpatrick would. So he might get a bump up. Antonio Gibson probably takes the best bump, but he was already had 19 carries this past weekend. So he's already taking a full workload. So this might hurt a guy like Curtis Samuel and Adam Humphries from maybe being relevant on a week-to-week basis. So those guys might not see the consistently flex option that we thought we were going to see with them with Ryan Fitzpatrick. But the main studs there should be pretty fine with a guy like Henneke. On to the next one here. This was a bit surprising, but just wanted to mention it. Zach Moss and Trey Sermon will both healthy scratches this weekend here. That was pretty big news, especially Sermon, who we thought would have a fantastic role against the Lions this week, but that didn't end up happening here. But we're not going to say more about that. So over to the next one, Raheem Mostert. What happens again? Gets hurt.
Last 8 weeks cannon. Now.
Again, this might eat into our waiver wire segment here, but we'll save it for the waiver. We'll save it for the RB talk here. So
this we're going to talk news. About them. You don't have to go into that.
News. If we don't have to talk about it too much. It is just news, unfortunately, because we will talk about what happens with him in a few minutes. So we'll leave it at that. Murray's out. Mostert is out 8 weeks now, unfortunately. So. But let's get into our main topic tonight, guys. It's waiver wire time, and we're going to start with the quarterback situation. So, Jibs, who is your first QB that you're looking to pick up?
It's been so long, Steve. I forget what we do. We're like 30%, right? That's our little threshold.
40. I did 40 this year, I think.
40?
Under 40%,
okay.
Yeah.
Under 40, okay. But, all right, so I went with the bottom feeder. Jameis Winston, like, I know it wasn't, like, anything crazy with the – basically a pedestrian game for most quarterbacks, but Jesus Christ, he's only owned in 43% of Yahoo leagues. He's only owned in 26% of ESPN leagues, so he's basically widely available. And he beat down the Packers with limited volume, 14 attempts out of 20 completions. I mean, 14 completions out of 20 attempts for 148 yards and 5 touchdowns, and that's a feat beyond itself. Like, haven't seen that many quarterbacks. Like, if you see a stat line like that, you're probably in the 200-yard range, but just do it under 150 yards is crazy. And I don't think the Saints will be much of a defensive force next couple road games, true road games. And I think that will allow him to throw more passes, and I'm supportive of Jameis Train. Like, Steve, you said like you're very like you regard him very high as a QB, a low end QB one, high end QB two during the draft like process. So like I want to give a shout out to you for giving that good analysis. And like he even threw some rushing yards yesterday, 6 for 37 yards. So it's looking good. Like I know the offense will probably change week to week, and then you set the Michael Thomas back in, but still like you have good weapons there.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. That is a great pickup this week. I mean, he showed greatness, and it's only going to get better as the rest of that wide receiver core gets healthy this season. So Jameis Winston is a good pickup to pick up now and hopefully stash on your bench. I don't know if the matchup is that great next week. I forget who they play.
Atlanta, and then he has New England, and then you follow up that with Washington, a bye week, Seattle, Tampa Bay. So, like, you're figuring, and then Atlanta. So, like, after the bye week, so you're going to have, like, a good, decent stretch of games because it's Tennessee and Philadelphia. So.
Right. So, it's better to pick them up now if you can. In terms of, you know, if you're doing fab, it's probably like a minimum, honestly, unless you need a quarterback really badly. I wouldn't put too much fab out there for him. But, I mean, he's definitely worth putting some money out there for and getting on your team this coming season.
He's a perfect pivot to like a Fitzpatrick owner, and I'm sure like the person you're about to deliver to our listeners is definitely a good candidate as well.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And it's Teddy Bridgewater. That is my waiver wire pickup. He played really good against a pretty good Giants defense. People don't give the Giants that much credit, but they're a pretty good defense, and he put up over 20 fantasy points this past week here. I wish I had the number in front of me, but I did not. He put up 24 fantasy points in a 6-point per touchdown league. He looked great out there, and he should be fine going against the Houston Texans. Oh, the Jacksonville Jaguars he plays this week here, who they just allowed Tyrod Taylor put up 27 T-Mobile fantasy points up this week. Yeah, and then he follows it up against the New York Jets in week 3. So, you know, he looked excellent out there. He looked like he was able to command that Denver pocket. He was able to get the ball out in space, and it hurts losing Jerry Jeudy, but he should still be fine. He was excellent yesterday. Again, he was someone on third downs. He was 11 for 12 on pass plays, and he looked good. He was able to just command the offense very nicely. And again, he's someone worth putting money in. $5% of your budget or less. If you're looking for a quarterback this week, he should be someone who streams these next 2 weeks and helps you win fantasy week. So,
I'm just thinking of Melvin Gordon next week against the Jaguars. He's going to have like a college type performance, like 25 carries for like 200. And like,
I hope he does. I hope Javonte Williams does too.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
All right. So we got a couple other players here. Jared Goff, again, it's not sexy, but I mean, Jameis Winston did just throw 5 touchdowns against the Packers this week. I mean, garbage time expecting out of Jared Goff if you're looking for that. I just read that like San Francisco benched half their secondary. Is that what you were going to say?
Oh, no. I had a really good one for ESPN people.
Oh, go ahead.
So for ESPN people in their leagues, Kirk Cousins is only owned in 24% of leagues, and he's playing the Cardinals next week. I know they kind of had Ryan Tannehill and the COVID-tainted Titans probably, like, overwhelmed. But still, like, Cardinals, Seahawks, Cleveland, Detroit, Carolina, that's a great stretch of games. And you follow that with Dallas. Like, I think Kirk Cousins is going to be having maybe not as much volume as he did week one, but still, like, just to be able to have a guy to get 2 touchdowns and have your steady, like, kind of streamer
option. Yeah, I like that one a lot, too. I definitely like that. A couple others. Mac Jones does play the Jets this week. Mac Jones looked pretty good last week. Big Ben, too. Big Ben has a good matchup. I believe he has a good matchup this week as well. He That offense should pick things up. That was a bad week for the Steelers offense. That should pick back up. So he's another candidate if you're looking to pick up a quarterback for you in week two. So going over to the RBs now. Chibs, who is your first running back you want to
know? It's everybody's.
It's honestly, to me, it's nobody. Honestly, I don't like the running backs.
I don't like it either, but like it's going to be Elijah Mitchell. And obviously, I wrote this before I heard confirmation that Raheem Mostert is going to miss 8 weeks, 6 to 8 weeks. So he's supposed to be the next guy up. We saw Trey Sermon get the inactivated for the game. So, and we heard things about like a marriage system and just like how players performed in camp. So like, I guess like if he's not going to be activated for Sunday's game, he might figure like he might be kind of, I think he will be activated for this game just because like just the loss of the running back position if they don't sign anyone. But still, like, I don't think like this like waiver claim could be kind of compromised if Sermon actually gets activated and he actually performs. So like I wouldn't want to go all out on him, but like he's definitely an interesting candidate because like it is the guy Kyle Shanahan chose to be the guy after their main guy went down, obviously.
And then that makes a lot of sense here. And you know, I tell people are telling me right now, oh, go all in on Elijah Mitchell. He is going to be a beast. Like, I'm just telling everyone that kind of pumped the brakes a little bit, honestly. I mean, he looked great. He had 100 yards and a touchdown. I mean, you can't go wrong with that. And next man up in a San Francisco 49ers running back. You know, you got to love that. But it's still a San Francisco 49ers running back. They always seem to never have a back start more than like five games. And it's always someone else in a few weeks later. Like, next week could be Jermichael Hasty. Next week could be Trey Sherman. And he'll be active for this game, Trey Sherman. He's not going to be inactive. You know, I heard someone did say that, you know, he was inactive for whatever it may be, but he wasn't playing special teams. You know, Jermichael Hasty is going to play special teams. Elijah Mitchell is going to play special teams maybe. But, you know, so Sherman will be back and active this week here. So Mitchell, I wouldn't spend all your bread on. Again, if you look at his stats into more detail, he played 64% of the snaps. And outside of his 35-yard touchdown, he was 18 for 66 yards. It's like 3.3 yards a carry. It's not really that great against a Detroit Lions defense that's supposed to be really bad. So don't overexpend on a guy like Mitchell. I would say no more than 15% of your budget if you're looking for an RB, because I don't think he's the next James Robinson. I don't think you're getting that from Elijah Mitchell. You're getting a guy who could put up another good week, but the 49ers running backs are such a mystery. So I wouldn't overspend on a running back with San Francisco, but he's definitely intriguing because he was talented coming out of Virginia Tech, if I believe that's where he's from. So he's worth a pickup. He's probably the number one RB pickup because he's currently has the best path to a starting role, but don't overspend on Elijah Mitchell. I'm telling you now.
And that is wrong. It's Louisiana.
Is it Louisiana? Who went to Virginia Tech then? Oh, it's got Kalik Herbert. Somebody from the Chicago Bears. That's who it was. He went to Virginia Tech. So thank you for that. I appreciate that, Jibs. All right. So Jibs, who's your second one? Because I had Eliza Mitchell too, obviously.
Okay. For me, I guess it's gross because it's basically a trap back play. But if Houston is going to showcase Mark Ingram and allow him to have a Costco trip of carries, I would love to sift my nose in his direction. Obviously, the only downfall is the Texans aren't playing the Jaguars every week. And basically, if you're playing a startup team like the Jaguars, you know they may have a good shot in the game and he's going to have some garbage time clock killing carries. And that will get them 26 attempts. But in a game, like if they're playing, for instance, the Titans when they get their stuff together, or for instance, the Buffalo Bills, I think they're going to be chasing points. They're not going to be able to have like that many opportunities. But still, as the fantasy community is driven, like RBs kind of make work in deeper leagues. Like a guy who could get you 15 carries, you're going to take that. I don't know how much effective they're going to be, but he's shown that he's going to be the red zone guy. I know he doesn't have limited receiving work, but still, hey, this is week one. You don't got to spend that much money on him, but don't overlook him either.
Yeah, I mean, I would say like 7 or 8% of your budget to spend on him, if that. I mean, yeah, it's, you know, we obviously love opportunity, and that's big when it comes to running backs. But I'm not gonna go over the board, but on a guy like Mark Ingram. But he, in terms of next man up, he's the next man up on waivers that is out there for you. And everyone needs a running back nowadays. Let's be real. Like, running backs are a dime a dozen, and if we can find one that's putting up at least 15 carries a week, you're gonna sign me up for it. So, but again, another guy like Elias Mitchell, don't overspend. So,
And then one downside, what? I was just like thinking like this, like hypothetically, I was like, what if like the Houston Texans are so smart now that they sign 3 veteran running backs who they could just plow into the dirt either one by one or just rotate them each by week and give them 20 carries each?
Oh God. Well, hopefully it is. I hope it's David Johnson. That's the only share of David Johnson I have is in 1 week. So we'll see how that works out there. But what was I going to say? It's something. I forget now. Oh God, I can't remember. Oh, just remember. Next running back, yes. But just remember, both Elijah Mitchell and Mark Ingram had zero targets in their games, just so you guys both know. I know, I think Mark Ingram might have had one target. He had one target. So combining these two top-tier running backs that are so not top-tier, but top waiver pickup running backs, and neither had one target between the two of them. So keep that in mind, that their ceilings are limited. They have a solid floor possibly, but their ceilings could be very limited in these two offenses here. So just keep that in mind as well. So my other one is Carlos Hyde. It's not sexy, but he did lead the team in carries, and the Jaguars should hopefully run the ball more than like 15 times in the game. Again, it's nothing major. Again, he's a very minimal pickup in terms of fab, but he did lead the team in carries, and he knows this offense in terms of head coach Urban Meyer knowing him very well. Hopefully it's not a thing that keeps up. So that's why I'm saying very minimal 1% of your bid to put on him if you're looking for an RB. But again, the running backs right now are really not great. Again, Cordell Patterson, Shavon Ahmed, Ty Johnson might be a better choice. Larry Roundtree. I thought you were going to say Kenny Gainwell, Jib. So I left Kenny Gainwell behind there. He might be my number two, to be honest.
He's interesting for sure.
He fills that Boston Scott role at this point now, and I think he has that role set up. So he, I think I would put him as my number two over Carlos Hyde. I thought you might have said him. So he would be my number two. He'd be someone I'd spend about 5 to 10 of my bet, 5 to 7 of my bid on, because I think if Sandals doesn't perform, or he performed really good this week, but if he doesn't perform, I think Kenny Gainwell could get in the game, and he could be someone worth picking up now and a lot of your waivers as a later round like stash for now. So. And who else? James White, he's owned in 40% of leagues, but if he's out there, obviously he got targets again. He could be relevant. And DJ Dallas, Rashad Penny did go down. I know Alex Collins is there possibly still. I didn't see him play at all. I don't think the snap showed him playing. But Chris Carson fumbled again. Penny's gone. DJ Dallas could find himself back into the starting lineups. Those are the running backs. Again, it's not a running back wide receiver waiver wire week that I'm spending big money on. So I think it's a fool's gold to spend money on.
Terrible waiver wire week.
Yeah, it's a bad waiver wire week. Usually week 1 and 2 are pretty good, but not this week. Well, maybe next week. So over the wide receivers now, Jibs, who's your first wide receiver you want to mention?
Oh, I would like to go with Tim Patrick with Jerry Jeudy's injury. And I really don't have a preference with either him or KJ Hamler. Whatever one's not owned in your league, I think they're fine options, both of them. But with Tim Patrick, I just want to go with a guy who kind of fits the, I guess, Jerry Jeudy role. I think he's more polished, for instance. I think he's just a more versatile option for Teddy Bridgewater to throw to, other than KJ Hamler. I know he has elite speed and dropped basically a wide open pass. Like, I saw that and I was like, very like, I thought that was atrocious. But like, you could go either way with your thing. I just want to go with the proven option, the guy who's done it like in multiple years. So that's why I like Tim Patrick the most.
Tim Patrick's definitely the safer option for sure, because he will step up. He's very underrated. He's got the most common name ever, so it should be known that he's an underrated guy. But my number one was KJ Hamler this week. And it is for me is that you look at Teddy Bridgewater. What is Teddy Bridgewater? He likes wide receivers that can separate. KJ Hamler was 10th last year in terms of target separation. He is definitely going to be someone who uses his speed to get open past defenders that Teddy Bridgewater will find in the open field. He won't miss unfortunately, a 50-yard bomb every single time. So I like him as my guy this week. They do play the Jags next week, and they gave up a lot of big plays against Houston. So he's definitely someone I'm looking to pick up. I guess I think either one of these guys are worth 10% of your fab at that. I don't think anything else. If that, I mean, it depends if you need wide receiver. 10%, I think, would be the highest I'd even consider going for any one of these two guys. So, and who's your number two, Jibs?
I'm going to go with Nelson Aguilar. I thought, honestly, Jacoby Myers would have a better game given the circumstances with the quarterback change. But obviously, truth be told, Nelson Aguilar had the more efficient game, 5 catches, 72 yards, and a touchdown. And I think Mac Jones looked pretty damn good. Probably the best out of the bunch of the rookie quarterbacks this week. So he's only going to get better. He's playing the Jets next week. Sam Darnold carved him up, who I don't really think is that good of a quarterback. So if Sam Darnold could do it, I think Mac Jones could do it. And I think Nelson Aguilar and the pass receiving game, maybe and the tight ends too, could have a good game.
Yeah, no, I was mildly impressed with Nelson Aguilar because I thought that might have been a one-year wonder with the Raiders last year, but he performed pretty well against a tough Dolphins secondary. I think he might be the go-to guy, honestly, in this offense that Mac Jones is going to look deep towards, and I think it's going to be Aguilar. So I like that one a lot. My number two here is Zach Pascal. Again, he's like a Tim Patrick kind of guy, a safe play to pick up. Yes, Trent. I lost it.
Sorry, actually.
Definitely a decent option as well. He did play over Brandon Ayuk. That was a pretty big headline this past weekend here. He did get his touch. He got, I think, his 2 catches, and he had a touchdown with it. He's definitely an option. He's, to me, might have been more of a deeper league option at this moment. I wouldn't say a 12-team league right now, but 16-man league, maybe 14-man leagues, is definitely worth a pickup for sure. The new Kendrick Bourne. That's exactly what he's playing right now. So we'll see if he can kind of keep it going. He was a preseason hype guy, so we'll see if he can keep this hype going into week two. My guy, though, was Zach Pascal. Again, common pretty easily. A guy who's kind of been under the radar on leading the Colts and receiving the last, like, 3 seasons, basically, because everyone seems to get hurt. He just seems to be there with shitty quarterback play. But Carson looked pretty decent on Sunday. His matchups aren't that great heading down the stretch here, but someone needs to throw the ball. He needs to throw it to somebody. I guess Zach Pascal seemed to be the guy this week here. And he had 2 touchdowns. He had the only 2 red zone targets. And he led his receivers and tight ends in targets in general with 5. So he could be a guy who's very minimal option that I would consider picking up going into week 2. And Jibs, who's your third one?
I'm going to go bottom of the barrel, and it's Cedric Wilson of the Cowboys with Michael Gallup being, he has an ankle injury, some kind of ankle injury.
Yeah, he's an ankle injury.
Basically, Cedric Wilson played 67% of the snaps last week, and you can see a tick in the playing time. I know he didn't really have that big of a game with the Cowboys are supposed to pass the offense on this play. He had 3 catches for 34 yards, but Gallup was, like, shown often. He was featured a little bit early in the game, and I figured with the increase in playing time, because Gallup played 82% of the total snaps, I think he could fit in at third wide receiver slot, and he could probably provide some fantasy value for the upcoming stretch weeks.
I like that one a lot there, honestly, because I think he could fill in really nicely. He's got some speed to him, so I like that. My third one is Sterling Shepard, in 32% of the league, so he might not be as available out there, but I think if he's out there, he needs to be picked up. And fortunately, he always has an injury history, so it's always a risky play, but when he's healthy, he really does show up a lot of times here. And it seems like with Daniel Jones, he seems to show up more times than not. He did lead the team in targets with 9. And he's got a matchup next week with the Washington football team that Keenan Allen kind of tore them up in the slot. Sterling Shepard plays the slot. So he's definitely a good pickup. They're going to have to throw the ball somehow because the outside corners will lock down Kenny G and probably Darius Slay pretty quickly. So Sterling Shepard is a guy I'm willing to pick up. I think pretty much any wide receiver is at least at max 5% of your overall bid. I wouldn't really bid anyone else past that, to be honest. None of these guys I feel like are going to be top 24 wide receivers by the season's end. Maybe 1 or 2, but very minimal. So let's see what else we have here. What do you think about Jibs? We didn't really mention. What do you think about Christian Kirk? He had 2 touchdowns. He had a really good game.
He's polarizing, but I can't get on the train. He does it every time, and then he just gives on for like 8-game stretches where he does nothing.
This is true. He's definitely a guy who seems to get multi-touchdown games pretty easily, but it's far and few in between he does it. So,
but you can pick him up, but like, are you going to have the guts to put him in your lineup?
I probably wouldn't. That's why I'm like, eh. And the thing to know, he did score both his touchdowns in the second half of the game where they were pretty much already just destroying the Titans and letting them bleed out. So it may have been a good moment where they just – the Titans' defense was just done. And Kirk took advantage of that at the time. So who else do we have here? Van Jefferson, he had a touchdown. He had a nice touchdown in last night's Sunday night game. He's definitely an option. KJ Osborne. I like KJ Osborne. In a deeper man league, he's definitely, I think, should be picked up. He played over 70% of the snaps and had 9 targets that were on par with Thielen and Jefferson. I don't think this Vikings secondary is as rebuilt as we thought they were going to be, and they might be in situations a lot of times that they're going to have to pass the ball, unfortunately. So keep him in your mind here. You might need another week before you really going to go pick up a guy like that. Gabriel Davis had a touchdown this past week, but he didn't see enough snap shares, unfortunately, just yet for me to say that if he's not already on your team, I wouldn't pick him up just yet, but he's definitely someone who could change that very soon. Braylon Edwards, he's a guy, if he goes off tonight, he's definitely someone I'm willing considering to pick up. And what's the last one here? Danny Amendola. It's a deep man league, but Danny Amendola had 5 targets in this game and got a touchdown. It could be very interesting with him. It's not in deep man league. You might need a wide receiver, and it seems like he's the number 2 guy currently right now behind Brandon Cooks in Houston. So he's definitely another guy. So, and Amon St. Brown, I didn't mention him, but if he's out there still, I still believe that he has an opportunity. Terrell Williams is in concussion protocol, so that might open the door for St. Brown to actually do something. So, all right, and then Jibs, over to the tight ends here now. What do you got?
I'm going with Cole Kmet, and nothing's like opening up your fantasy app and seeing Mike Gesicki score you 0 points. So if yes. I were you, I would just add Cole Kmet because clearly he has a role in the offense. And he has a stat. And he has lead on the playing time in the offense. And I'm not – and he has a staggering lead on playing time compared to, Jimmy Graham. He had literally – he was tied for 2nd on targets for the team, tied with Darnell Mooney at 7. Obviously, the big dog Allen Robinson at 11 total targets, but still to have a 17-18% target share on the offense, I would consider definitely adding Cole Kmet because he's only owned in Yahoo leagues 34% and ESPN in 22%. So,
no, that is a good one. I did not get to add him to my list last night because I forgot about him, but he is definitely a good one. Another good one, and this is a weekly streamer here for week 2, Jared Cook for the Los Angeles Chargers. They play the Dallas Cowboys, who just let 34-year-old or 32-year-old Gronk throw basically 29 fantasy points up this week. Jared Cook had a pretty decent week. Nothing crazy, but he had a decent week. He should be a guy that's a big pickup. And if you're looking for a tight end for this week, if you stream the tight end position, he is the tight end, I think, to own for this week because he should put up big numbers. Who else we have? I mean, Gerald Everett had a touchdown. He was pretty nice. James O'Shaughnessy from the Jacksonville Jaguars. He did have 5 catches for 50 yards with Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence seemed to like his tight end there a little bit. Juwan Johnson, I know he had 2 touchdowns. I wouldn't go nuts. He only played 13% of the snaps, and they happened to be in the end zone. I don't think that's something that's going to be a week-to-week thing right now. Adam Trautman did still lead his team in targets and snap shares for the tight ends. Dawson Knox had a decent week, that's for sure. They played Miami this week. Patriots put up some decent numbers of tight ends. And both Blake Jarwin and Dalton Schultz, Jarwin in more 12-man, Schultz more in 16-man leagues. They could be the ones to step up. We talked about Cedric Wilson as the one who's going to step up as the third option. It could be the tight ends who step up this coming week. So those guys both are options for you moving forward, especially in this week. Again, I wouldn't say anyone outside of Cook and maybe Kmet that are worth more than 5% of your budget. Everything else, those other two guys could be worth more if you're looking for a tight end. We're going to wrap it up here now. So that is our Waiver Wire show. We're going to have more for you next week. I apologize about that. We'll have some keep and cut kind of section for you guys to go through, and then maybe we'll talk about some other things. But those are the waiver wire pickups that we like for this week. Hopefully they work out for you. Again, this is not a big waiver wire week to want to go out and throw your money at, so just keep that in mind. So We thank you guys for listening. As always, please go check out our website, www.thefantasycoaches.com. We have four great shows going Monday through Thursday, each and every week, giving you great information for the coming week to go and the week that just happened. And as always, please go follow us on Twitter at Coaches Fantasy and keep up with all of our updates. We're there for you every single day that you need us. We're there, even on Sundays for sure. And if you want to follow me and Jibs, you know, you want to get us pick our brains on some things, you can do that on Twitter as well. And you can do that at mine at Coach Stephen P.
Hati Kanchu.
So give us a follow, guys. Ask us some fantasy questions. We're here to help you win championships. We're trying to coach you guys up. So one day maybe you won't need us, but hopefully you will. So take care, guys. See you guys. Well, we'll be on Thursday, but we'll have shows Tuesday and Wednesday for you as well. So until then, guys, take care. Enjoy the rest of your week one.
The bag is not far-fetched. We got a couple of Clark Kents. I've been feeling super duper. How the heck they know the future? Come with me, don't be a loser. Grass is green like Koopa Scoopers. Clueless analysts don't do the half of this. In fact, I'm backing this by asking if y'all remember that tough act into acting. Like boom, running like zoom. The highest and mightiest entered the room. High off the knowledge, I'm feeling the fumes. All players cover this, nuts as legumes. Opponents are doomed and these are the facts. I keep it 100 like I'm running track. Listen up, Jack, I'ma head back to the blowin' that, blowin' that, blowin' that, go.